I think we're just getting started.
Saddle up, ladies and gents. It is time for another episode of 117 Gaming Squadron. I'm your host, Phil. Welcome to episode 6, where we will talk about Dark Watch for the original Xbox. But first, let's go ahead and listen to that sweet, sweet boot up of the OG Xbox. Alright, so let's get on with some updates that I'd like to share with you guys. So here are the games I currently am playing. I'm also playing Super Mario Wonder, which I was able to complete the story the other night. And that was definitely a fun game. And I would say it is original because, yeah, it's your typical Mario platforming, but what they implemented the stuff in there, I don't want to go into too much detail because I'm going to do my own episode of it, but it was fun. It was original, it was fun. It made me want to come back and keep playing it, and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm actually completing the story, but now I'm going through and finishing up some of the levels I missed and trying to complete the ones that I missed and everything. So I'm going to be going back and trying to complete that one. But another game I actually just started playing, I was able to pick up a copy of Wild Arms for the original PlayStation, and I started playing that. And that one also has been fun. It's actually kind of fun going back to those old school 90s PlayStation RPGs that I grew up with and I miss. And I know that the Wild Arms game came on the PlayStation Classic, but for me being a collector, I wanted to have the original game so I can put it on my shelf and to be able to experience also the game on the original hardware for that nostalgia feeling too. So so I'm playing that right now, and I'll definitely be talking about that in a future episode as well. But let's get on to what beer I will be drinking tonight. So, tonight is a beer that I just happened to see based on its art and also the brewery when I was at the liquor store. It is called the Juiceler, and it's a double IPA from Drecker Brewing in Fargo, North Dakota. And I actually got a chance to visit their brewery when I was up in Fargo visiting my wife when she was doing her field work up there. And her and I both got a chance to go check out their brewery, which is not in downtown Fargo, but an old part of Fargo. And I actually really enjoyed their beer. She actually enjoyed their beer, and she's not much of a beer drinker. She actually enjoyed their sours. And they actually had these ones that were kind of like a fruit smoothies. They were thick fruit slushies kind of thing, and yeah, they had beer in it, but it tasted more kind of like a slushie. So she actually was drinking those, and those are really good too. Those would definitely be great on a summer day. But the brewery is actually really neat. They call it Brewhalla, and the building was actually built in 1880s and was originally built by the Northern Pacific as a locomotive repair building and foundry. And so that building over the years kind of was in different hands, but finally when Drecker picked it up, they kind of restored it and everything and made it to a brew hall, and it's really neat. It's a nice brew hall. They have a good, nice main floor, and they have an upper floor. They have a nice patio with a fire. Their place is definitely popping when we went there, and their brewing area where they have all their tanks and stuff like that is a good size. It's definitely worth checking out if you're ever on the road and hitting up Fargo. That's a fun brewery to hit up. So let's get on with the beer. So this beer actually sits at 8% alcohol. And this is just in this 16-ounce can, so 1 pint. One of the things I did say was the art was... Their art is always interesting. So trying to explain it to you, it's like almost looks like a squid with a horn is squeezing a skeleton with its eye popping out. And he's got a pirate hat on with, and then looks like a narwhal is poking it through its head and its brain shooting out. And then there's stuff going on in the background. I think looks like it's definitely taking place at sea. Oh, because the, he looks like a pirate because he's got a hook in his left arm, and his right hand has like a little sword in it. So he looks like he's probably the captain. Anyway, let's go ahead and crack this baby open. But let's see. So this beer actually contains two row barley, oats, white wheat, and Carafoam. The hops they use are Citra, Mosaic, and Sabro, which Citra and Mosaic are very common IPAs. Sabro, I gotta actually go see what flavors that gives. That's kind of something that I haven't really heard much of. But, and as for yeast, they use their house yeast. So I'm curious, is that just their basic ale yeast? Is it designed for, like, can it be used in brown ales? Can it be used in golden ales? Can it be used in pale ales, IPA, hazies? Like, what makes their house ale that useful? Blah, why can't I think of the name or the term? Anyway, where it can be used often and in different areas. Efficient. Ah, no, whatever. Anyway, so let's give this guy a pour and see what we get. Ooh, that smells good. Yep, can smell the hops. It's not... I mean, I can smell kind of the juiciness in there. But the color... Oh, this thing's definitely hazy. Definitely hazy. It's kind of like a gold haze. Very. Yeah, definitely a gold haze. Alright, well, bottoms up. You know, it's good. The first initial sip, the first time you taste it, definitely taste the haziness. Definitely, it's definitely a mouthful, but it goes down smooth. At the very end, you kind of do taste the alcohol. It seems like that's where you kind of get a little taste of that it's strong. I mean, it does a good job of masking it for the most part, but after you swallow it and at the very tail end of that taste, you taste the alcohol, but it's not like it's a burning sensation. It's not like it's terrible and you're like, ugh. It's actually not bad. So, yeah, this guy kind of being a nice cold, chilled. It's good. Yeah, I'll let you guys know at the end when I finish it. So... All right, let's get on with the game. So, here are a few comments that people have talked about for this game. One person on Reddit commented that there's literally nothing groundbreaking about this game, but if the edgy Wild West Vampires theme appeals to you and you enjoy the old school Halo-style first-person shooter, you'll definitely get a kick out of it if you can get a copy and get it working. So for me, I dig when I found a copy... I actually put it in and booted it up and it start playing like the intro to like developers or something, but then it suddenly say, oh, your disc is damaged or dirty, and I took it out, cleaned it once or twice. I even tried it in a different Xbox. Same thing. So thankfully I have a local retro game store that actually does resurfacing. Took it in, he resurfaced it and brought it home and was able to get it to work. And it played fine throughout the end. So, thankfully, I was able to get that thing back up and running. So, another user on Reddit also mentioned that really enjoyed this game. Very underrated first-person shooter. And the graphics are pretty good. It's really fun. I highly recommend it. Dark Watch, forgot to mention, it's got some banger soundtrack, too. So, that one, like, I agree. And we'll go into detail more about it. But, yeah, the graphics, for the time, I mean, even now, I think it still holds up for, even if you're playing on a flat screen 4K TV, like I played on mine, and I thought the graphics were fine. No issues, really. And, yeah, the soundtrack was really good, too. and everything. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. So why did I choose this game? Well, this is the game that I actually read about a few times popping up. And I think this is one of those games that the reason why I kept popping up is because it's also one of those hidden gems for the OG Xbox and PS2. And after seeing people talk about it and recommending it, I was finally able to get myself a copy for the Xbox, and now I finally got around to playing it. I think I sat on that game for about 4-6 months before I finally got around to playing it, and kind of wish I started sooner, but hey, you know, here we are. And I didn't realize that. So this game actually came out in August of 2005, just 3 months shy of the Xbox 360 launch. So that's maybe why this thing didn't get much love as it thought it was, because the Xbox 360 was around the corner. Microsoft was probably pumping out, just blitzing the market with their next-gen console. And so people are probably thinking, like, why do I need to buy more games for the Xbox? 360's coming around, and there was no talk about it being backwards compatible and all that stuff. So that's probably the reason why it kind of got lost in the shuffle. But so this game was developed by High Moon Studios, and it was published by Capcom. I had to take a look to see what other games that High Moon created, and they kind of did a lot of Transformers games, but then they were eventually acquired by Activision when their High Moon's parent company was merged with Activision. So since then, they've been basically a support studio for Call of Duty, which I think is kind of maybe a waste of their talent, because if you play Dark Watch, you'll see how great of a game that is. Okay, so here's your spoiler warning, because I am going to go probably through the details of some of the game and kind of talk about stuff that, you know, is just, people may want to be like, oh man, spoiler. So starting off, so this game takes place in 1876 Wild West, and you play as Jericho Cross, a seasoned outlaw. And so the first mission is pretty much sets up the story for the entire game. You are robbing a train, not realizing what is on it. And so as you make your way through the train, you get to the end where you feel like there's the treasure, and then you're about to blow it open with your dynamite, and a woman by the name of Cashley Sharp is on the train, tries to stop you, but is unsuccessful. And so you blow up what Jericho thought was a safe, but instead it was actually carrying this evil spirit named Lazarus Malkoth. And kind of find it interesting that the guy's name is Lazarus, based on the name from the Bible that Jesus was the one that raised from the dead. So of course Lazarus dies and comes back, so fitting name for the character. So when Lazarus is free, he attacks Jericho and bites him, turning him into a vampire. Cassidy then blames you for releasing him, pretty much forces Jericho to join her into stopping Lazarus by joining their secret society known as Dark Watch. And so she basically says, join us, help us stop Lazarus, and we can heal you, we can stop this curse, and you can return to human. So Jericho's like, fine, I'll help you. So he follows Cassidy, and you kind of go on your way. Now, Cassidy is one of the characters that you run into in the game that helps you a lot. She kind of talks to you and jumps in missions with you and everything. But later on, you end up running into another character from the Dark Watch that basically does the same thing as Cassidy does, but wants something else for herself. So when you meet her, where the heck? Dropping stuff. So you meet Tala, and she again helps you with it, but kind of has plans for herself. And by that, I mean she seduces Jericho to convince her to bite her, so she becomes a vampire. And yeah, so she becomes a vampire, joins Lazarus and his plans, and basically stabs you in the back and fucks over the Dark Watch anyway. Blah blah blah. So that's kind of what happens, and you have to go after her and basically kick her ass. So the story is, it's not like, oh my god, this is so original, it's so cool, and it's also not like, god, this thing's weak as hell. It's okay, so you got bit by a vampire, takes place in the Wild West, and you're out to stop him from basically conquering the entire Wild West by raising the dead and releasing your demons and dead on Earth. So you go through different levels, and some are just kind of a, you're in a small town, you're in a ravine, you actually have to go through like an abandoned church. You actually have to go to a Native American site that you have to protect them because they're very peaceful people. So you go there and protect them from their undead that get risen up. There is a couple of missions where you're actually on horseback, which is fun because you're actually killing skeletons on skeleton horses and stuff like that. And there's one where you actually are driving a vehicle with a turret on top, just blasting people away. It's good. There's definitely different varieties. It's not just your typical, like, okay, first-person shooter, I'm running around blasting people away. There's no puzzles to solve in this game. You do, as the designs of the levels, like, there is... I mean, there's no alternate path. It's kind of like from point A to point B. The level kind of comes undone as you play through the game. Like, oh my god, this place blew up. These skeletons blew up this area. Now I gotta change it. Oh, I gotta... there's objectives in each level that you have to kind of complete to progress. And they kind of just switch it up on you. So it's not like that straightforward. You're just running, gunning. Wow. So the enemies you have to deal with are your kind of your typical ones that you start out with your grunt soldiers, basically, or the reapers. They're just skeletons with cysts on their hands. They're pretty easy. The riflemen, those guys can be a pain in the ass because they actually can shoot you from a distance. So they could be on top of a building, on top of a rock, whatever, and they can start picking you off from a distance. So you kind of have to figure out where they are. And the game does kind of tell you where you're getting hit. If you're getting hit in the front, the left, the right, or the back, kind of pops up a red arrow that says, okay, you're getting hit from the left or the right. So you kind of look over there and see where it's coming from. The gunslingers are basically the guys that kind of come at you and are shooting you. So they can be kind of challenging because they actually are quick shooters with their rifles. So you got to be quick on that. Now, I thought the Undead Riders were really cool. They're the ones on the skeleton horses that you do have to take out when you're riding your horse. So those are actually fun levels when you do that. So then they have one known as keggers, which is basically a skeleton running around with a TNT barrel. Those are funny because they're coming at you, making this weird screechy noise. You shoot the barrel, you blow it up, and you can take out a lot of them with you. So they're fun to kind of help you take care of the enemies. And there are times through different levels where you'll have wave after wave of enemies coming at you, and these keggers help a lot and actually save you on ammo because there are times where you run out of ammo and you're pretty much fucked. So now, the Banshee. Okay, these bitches suck because they can fly and they can shoot like a projectile from when they're in the air, and they take a lot of hits. So I would have a shotgun. I'm sitting there blasting them. They take 5 or 6 shots from the shotgun to go down. And then you have a carbine, same thing. It's just like, I just hate them because they can, if there's like 2 or 3 of them, they can all just start firing at you and they're flying around. They're just difficult and they're just pains in the asses. I hate them. So anytime I see them, I try to take care of them as fast as I can because they're just bitches. And then finally, that's not it. Oh, yeah, so then you have these guys called the Oozers. They're just big blobs. They're slow. Got 2 giant machetes that they wield around, but they're like bullet sponges. You just unload on them as much as you want. They don't go easily. They would actually burp up acid on you. So you got to be careful because that does hurt. And usually they are followed with a bunch of reapers. So you're kind of getting, you know, cut up by reapers while trying to take out oozers. Your best bet is basically just to shotgun the hell out of them if you can. If not, if you have your pistol, if you hold down the right trigger, he basically then goes into like rapid fire, which is pretty cool, and you just unload bullet after bullet into him, and eventually they blow up. So, the Braves, which is basically a Native American undead, and they're running around kind of like the Reapers, and they just do melee attacks. And sometimes they will have ones that actually have bow and arrows, so they're kind of like the Riflemen, so you just got to be careful of them. they too can hit you from afar. So be careful, because you might start getting picked off of that. Now, the Banditos, I think, are fun because they actually have shotguns. So they're close range, take a couple of blasts and they're done. But they're a great way to actually get ammo for your shotgun, because I actually prefer the shotgun because that actually did a lot of damage and stuff like that. So I would, when the Banditos come, I would actually like that because it fills up my ammo. But the last one, the Vipers. These are like quick-to-hand fighters that they can jump in, slash you a few times, and jump out. They actually can like teleport, and they usually come in like one or two or three at a time. These guys have killed me multiple times. They are a pain in the ass. They're quick. If you time it right, you can actually, when they jump in to slash you, you can actually shoot them in the head with your shotgun and take them on one hit. But normally it takes me about two. And then when they try to come jump in and slash me, I usually melee them, and that's usually enough and everything. So, and then, of course, you have Lazarus Malkoth, who's the bad guy of the game, who you have to fight two times. Yeah, you fight him two times in the game. One time you actually fight him for a little bit. You, quote-unquote, beat him enough to the point where he runs off. And, of course, you fight him at the towards another point in the game and everything. So he shows up once in a while, helps his people, bust some shit up, and then carries on. Now, one thing that I would say about the controls in this game, they were a little weird for me. That's probably because I was actually going from modern-day controller back to the OG Xbox. But one thing I would say that was nice is the fact that they were kind of following the Halo first-person shooter, and that, and the fact that the left analog stick was actually what you moved in, and the right was actually the view. So for me, that's actually really nice, because you can move with your left and aim with your right and look around. So when trying to shoot and snipe and stuff like that, you had a better chance of actually aiming and everything. So those are controls I prefer to have. You can jump in this game. You actually get vampire powers as you progress. And to jump, you actually have to hit Y, not A. So Y is, you know, the button on, out of the four buttons, at the one on top. So when you get your vampire powers, one of the things you can do is you can double jump. So you jump once and you jump again and he jumps higher. But the one thing that can be difficult about that is that when you double jump, he's kind of, if you move in one direction, you can't stop. So it's kind of like, and he floats over there and you hit to do it. So you try to do it again. I float over there again. So it's got a little challenging later on in the game when I try to make quick, long jumps in tight areas where I'd be over shooting it all the time. But it's still nice to have that ability. But now, for weapons, you get your typical, you got your handgun, you got your dual pistols, you got your carbine rifle, you got a range rifle, which is basically your sniper, then you got your shotgun, which is my preferred weapon you come across, was a crossbow, which is actually kind of an explosive crossbow, so they get stuck, they blow up, and then you do have a rail rocket, which is a rocket launcher. So one thing about this game, that even though it takes place in like 1876, all right, beep, 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 beep. Yeah. It's kind of, there's also like a steampunk feel to it, that they have like electricity, they have, of course they have trains, but they have vehicles, they have rocket launchers, they have a door, it's called the Ghost Door, that teleports you to different parts of the West and everything. So yeah, it's kind of like a steampunk feel to it, which is kind of neat on how they do that. The design of it was pretty neat. The levels, I mean, make you feel like you're in the West. Of course, it's desert. There's the wooden houses and bars and saloons and stuff like that. But when they threw in the kind of steampunk theme to it, that definitely made it kind of more interesting to play. All right, now finally for the music. So the music was good in this one. The main menu, when you first start the game, kind of has a homage to The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, because as you listen to it, you can kind of hear a little bit of the theme kind of mixed into it. And so you hear that throughout the game. It's definitely got that Western, kind of spaghetti Western theme song or that kind of music towards it. So if you're familiar with the Clint Eastwood Spaghetti Westerns and that those soundtrack, that's kind of similar to what Dark Watch was. And so it fits the game. The only downside I would say about the soundtrack is that it never really got kind of spooky or in terms of, like, there are different parts of the game where it would have been fitting if the music would have changed to kind of like, oh, like one point you're running through like an abandoned graveyard and you have to go underground under a church where more dead are buried. It would have been nice if the music would have changed to kind of more spooky ambiance, one that kind of helped emphasize the scariness of the undead jumping out at you and you're fighting. But other than that, it wasn't terrible. It's not like I had to turn it off. I kind of enjoyed it. It went along with the game and everything. So, all right. So now my final thoughts. So when I was doing some research on it, it looks like High Moon still owns the rights to the Dark Watch, which, you know, I thought Capcom had it because they published it, but apparently that wasn't the agreement. And so now that High Moon is now owned by Activision, that means now Microsoft owned Dark Watch because they acquired Activision. So I really hope they resurrect this franchise. I know Phil Spencer says that he wants to go back in the back catalog and try to resurrect a lot of these franchises that were great but stopped. And if they can go back and bring back Dark Watch, whether they just do a full-blown remake or remaster for today's audiences, I think that'll be great. I really wish now that this game was backwards compatible on the Xbox Series X, because, like I said, the graphics still hold up today, but if they could put it on the Series X where it's upscaled and 60 frames a second, that would just look beautiful, just amazing. And maybe add another tweaky stuff, but I thought this game was a lot of fun. One thing I did find interesting about this game was that I feel like there's two endings to it, because as you progress through the game, you have the option of saving these souls, and you can choose evil or good or evil, and then you get power-ups from that. I went the path of good, so I am curious to see that from the ending I got, if I went the path of evil, will the ending be different and everything? And I mean, I do not want to go online and look to spoil it for myself, so I may end up having to replay this game again, this time choose the path of evil and see if that changes everything. You can replay the levels after you beat the game. They did say that you can go back and collect stuff, but they don't actually say what you miss. So that would have been something that would have been nice. Like, hey, you missed these souls or you missed this or that. So you can go back and... But this is before achievements or trophies. So does it really matter if you can't really be like, look, I 100% this game, even though it doesn't really count because I don't have any trophies. And now time for the beer. So this beer actually... It's pretty good. Drekkers, I've not been disappointed with their beer. It seems like they've always come out with new beer all the time, which is good. You know, keep a rotating beer so everybody keeps coming back to try new stuff. I would say this stuff I could probably maybe drink two, being the fact it's 8%. It just seems like it's a very stronger beer that may not be worth drinking multiple a night. Now this is definitely might be a good beer to start off of, being 8%, kind of start the party and then switch to something that maybe be like 6.5% or 6% and kind of keep that buzz going. But I would recommend it if you really like hazies. This is one to try. It's definitely a mouthful when you drink it, but it's not terrible. It definitely has that hazy taste to it. So yeah, I say pick it up. And so for this game, I definitely say play it. If you have not played Dark Watch, I'd say play it. I know the Xbox version has multiplayer on it, which I think is actually up and running again now and through Insignia. But when I was doing some research, I found out that the PlayStation 2 version, since it did not have multiplayer, has like an exclusive level, which... I'm very curious to what that one is about. Does it have anything to do with the story, or if it's just an additional level to appease PS2 owners? But, you know, maybe I'll go online and see if I can find it or something. But there was a a sequel in development before it got canned. It was in pre-development, but from what people of the studio when they worked on it at the time kind of said, that this would take place in the future, where the vampires had pretty much taken over. The humans would have been basically put into like a farm where they would basically use them to hunt and feed off their blood. And apparently some surviving members or descendants of the Dark Watch Society, after it being destroyed, try to restart it, and they find out about Jericho. They go and awake him from his tomb, his slumber, and he helps the humans defeat the vampires in that futuristic time. And so that would have been, that sounds like it would have been sweet. And they were actually were designing it for the 360, but it got canned after they got bought out. And so hopefully that kind of comes back. I can only imagine how awesome it would look if it was on 360, but in time, hopefully that is. So if you're a fan of this game or haven't played it, play it. Tell Xbox to bring it back. Maybe they will bring it back on backwards compatibility now. And if there's definitely hype and demand, maybe they will then go back and say, all right, let's remake this game or keep this franchise going. But I definitely enjoyed it, and I think you will too. So that's it for now. Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of 117 Gaming Squadron. Please like and subscribe, follow, all that great stuff to help my podcast grow. If you ever want to contact me, you can email me at 117gamingsquadron@gmail.com for any sort of, if you want to give me suggestions, talk about games, any stuff you want me to talk about, or games I should play and everything like that, please email me. Hopefully everybody's having a good time, drinking some good beer. Until next time, take care, drink good beer, and continue to play video games. Cheers.